from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live blog by Jamie Snowden and our Cheesehead TV marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
It's a blockbuster edition of Transplants Tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're actually going to talk about the Packers. Mike Daniels, Jason Wilde, Aaron Nagler, Corey Banky, Thaddeus Collins.
Thad Collins is in the house, people.
You're going to get to see him later on in the show, possibly. And of course, we start with the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Mike McCarthy.
One of the best coaching jobs of his tenure.
Aaron Rodgers.
Number one in the MVP stratosphere.
Dom Capers.
What a game plan. Way to go, Dom.
And we got the bad. We got Mason Crosby.
Missing field goals. Squibbing kickoffs. Come on, buddy.
And we got the ugly. We got Nagler for picking the Patriots like a big fat loser.
Big fat loser I am. Never been happier to be wrong. Picked the Pats 27-24. It went the other way. Gotta love it. What a performance by the Green Bay Packers, ladies and gentlemen.
Insane.
Absolute. Well, I was going to say domination, but it wasn't domination. It should have been domination. If they had not gone 0-4 in the red zone, it probably would have been domination. But we'll take the W. Undisputed. Now, Corey, when you think of things that you are maybe comparing, like when you look at two things that are similar and you have to make a determination, you're thinking, this one's really good, but this one is better. It's kind of like when you're talking about bee's knees or Wisco Disco.
I was hoping you were going to get to Wisco Disco.
Oh, I'm right.
I was a little bit worried about
it. Where else would I be going? Salud, by the way.
I mean, if I have to choose between bee's knees or Wisco Disco, I'm going to choose Wisco Disco.
I'm going to choose Wisco Disco.
But Bee's Knees is really far behind. Really close behind it.
You know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like when you're talking about the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots. And you're thinking, these are two really good teams that played a really close football game. But one of them won. It's like Wisco Disco.
The better team won.
Wisco Disco is the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know.
Is the New England Patriots.
I'm not feeling that the bee's knees. I don't want the bee's knees anywhere near. I don't want the New England Patriots anywhere near my bee's knees.
I'm just saying, man.
Or my super kind, by the way. I got the
super kind t-shirt in the house.
Can't wait to get some
people,
of that.
I'm telling you.
Show.
I'm telling you now. When you get to Wisconsin, because I know all of you will be there
should
at one
be
point
the first
or another.
Thing you do, basically.
Before anything else, before you unpack, before you say hi to whoever it is you're visiting, whether it's relatives or friends, whatever you do, drop your linen, stop your grinning, go get some Stillmank Brewery beer. That's all I'm saying. It's got to be the first thing you freaking do because it is so good. So good, Banky.
Yeah, we're good.
All's well. No worries. Corey's all upset. Corey's just breaking stuff over here.
No, you didn't push record.
Why are we recording?
Because we have special guests.
I know, but I'm not going to record until the special guests are coming on so that the download and the, you know, processing time isn't as long. You taught me
you're
all
so
of this,
smart.
Corey. You.
Hey, I want to
bring the Jedi
out
Master.
I want to bring out some notes here.
Already? Wow, that's quick.
No, I'm just saying if we're going to talk about the Packers being the best team in the NFL.
All right, do it, dude.
These are my notes. They actually have to do with the Packers being the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So,
let's hear it.
Point differential NFL Ooh. Teams.
Come on now.
New England, 100 and plus 125.
Okay.
Green Bay, plus 113.
Come on, man.
No one else is over 100.
Yep. All right.
The four best teams in the NFL by how many points they've scored.
Okay.
Right?
This is going to be scary.
Indianapolis, 382. Green Bay, 380. New England, 378. And Philadelphia, 375.
So what you're saying is we're scoring a lot of points.
And we're better than all of those teams.
I would agree with that statement.
I mean, we know we're better than Philly.
I mean, we've beaten Philly. We've beaten the Patriots. Arizona has Drew Stanton,
Arizona.
For God's sakes, against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on, people. All right, yeah, and that's the news. I mean, every week we try to do Packers news, except maybe for last week, but we try to do legitimate Packers news, but there really isn't any because they're playing on Monday night. There was no practice today. There's no injury report. There's no nothing. We can't give you any updates. So the news is, slide back and listen to the news. The news is the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFL. And that pretty much sums it up. So why don't we move on to the offense?
Yeah, let's. I want to talk about there's something like above our heads right
looming.
Now.
Looming. There's something it's looming.
Like, it's so large. It's like in the top of the shot, and I didn't properly like. So we have a Packer heater here because this is what we do.
It heats.
People just send stuff to contact at Cheesehead TV. They ask us to do stuff, and usually my response is, okay, well, let me check it out because, you know, I got to check things out before I can say to the Packer fans.
Yeah.
It's like beer, right? We got to drink the beer.
We're
the canary.
We experience this
We're
stuff.
The canary in the mine for Packer fans.
For you. People for you.
So on the live blog, you'll see if you actually scroll down to the bottom, they're giving away three Packer heaters at heater.com.
Heater.com.
Infrared heaters, and we're not getting paid for this. Actually, I forced Nagler to take this home because I don't want it.
I forced Nagler to get a divorce.
But it's really
There's
cool.
No way that's going
it's,
home.
I don't want it not because it's cool. I just don't have room for it in my very small apartment. But apparently, infrared heat. I did not know this.
What is this? What does that mean?
It doesn't take water vapor out of the air, so you don't need a humidifier.
Ooh.
So it pushes the hot air around to make it warmer. And that
really
was
really exciting.
So yeah,
I feel like okay.
It's pretty cool. It looks like a big fat Green Bay Packer ball.
For your instructions.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, yeah. Let's
anyway,
the offense.
I digress.
You got to think they're going to be focusing on the red zone issues. If you have not, I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, viewers, listeners later on the podcast, go to cheeseheadtv.com and find the post from young Zach Cruz about the Packers' issues in the red zone against the Patriots. I cannot sum it up here the way that Mr. Cruz does it in that post. It is phenomenal. And I will say, I do want to say one thing about the offense in regards to a lot of people I saw after the victory. Everyone's in euphoria. Everyone's giddy. It's great. It took all less than an hour for me to literally get three or four tweets saying, whoa, I'm kind of worried about the offense. They only scored 3 points in the second half. Okay, first of all, you just beat the Patriots, dudes and gals. Let's have some fun, yo. And second of all, if you go back and you watch that half, there are a number of things where either, you know, Lacy getting stuffed on first down on a stretch run or Rodgers getting a delay of game, things that put them behind the sticks. And then even when they overcame those, Mason Crosby misses a field goal. Devontae Adams drops a sure touchdown. Yeah. So the offense was fine. They had some execution issues and they got behind the sticks a little bit on a couple of things. But overall, you know, it's not like the Patriots shut them down. And also, everyone's like, oh, they didn't only scored, you know, 3 points. Like the Patriots, who were destroying teams up until last Sunday, only scored 7 points in the second half.
Their point differential is a full 12 points above
right?
the Green Bay Packers. Who have done the last three weeks
before? Blown people out.
50 to 13,
they've been putting up 50
48
burgers.
To nothing.
Exactly. So the Patriots were held in check as well. So it's a team thing. There's lots that goes into it. You can't look at it like, they only scored 3 points. They executed on a number of levels. They just didn't close the deal a couple of times. It's going to be okay. On the flip side, on the defense, this is something I was surprised how little the Patriots tried to play smash-mouth football. I thought for sure they would come in, do a bunch of two, three tight end sets, and try and just smash the football, kind of like they did in Indianapolis. And they did a little bit of that, especially in the second half. They got kind of back to it a little bit with LeGarrette Blount. And what was interesting to me is that there was this kind of tendency where the Packers kept getting a great push initially with the first wave of either the defensive line or a couple linebackers, and they would cause the back, whoever it was, to kind of have to change course. But then no one would be there to wrap up or tackle, and then he would be off the races because they don't really have a speedster, but he would gain, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. So I'd be very interested to see if that's a team-specific thing, if they were trying to kind of guess the gap, so to speak, or if it's a prevailing problem that we're going to have to monitor down the stretch. Speaking of monitoring,
I mean,
the
defense looked pretty damn good considering where they were in week three.
Or week one, even. I mean, heck yeah. But, you know, speaking of the defense, why don't we talk to somebody who plays on the defensive side of the football?
Oh, snap.
You know, I mean, that sounds like a good idea, right?
That's a good idea.
No, well, you look concerned.
No, I'm not concerned. Oops.
Yeah, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you sure? It sounds like you weren't ready for that.
No, I am. Okay. Well, I was born ready, son.
Okay, let's remind him that he's live as soon as he picks up the phone.
Oh, yeah.
If he picks up the phone, we could get Larry Vade.
He might not.
We could totally get Larry Vade right here. That's totally going to voicemail. That's what that beep means. Beep means that he's on the other line. So we're going to get totally Larry Vade here.
Hello?
Hi, is Mike there?
It is me.
Mike Daniels, it is Aaron Nagler. You are live on CheeseheadTV.com. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, good.
He's like, oh.
I know. I'm sorry, man. We come hot. We come straight live. We have no buffer. We have no radio station. We just throw you up on the internet because we're crazy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. You know, sitting back, watching this tape, going over the Falcons, getting ready for this next contest.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Okay, before we get to the Falcons, I want to ask you about this Patriots game. Obviously, Packer fans are all abuzz still here on Wednesday. You know, game on Sunday, you guys absolutely kind of staked a claim, so to speak, to be the best team in the NFL. I don't want to talk about the team so much as your performance against the Patriots. Did you know you were going to dominate? And I'm not talking about, again, I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about you personally, because you trashed some guys on Sunday. When you were watching their film, when you were watching film of that Patriots offensive line, were you thinking, I am going to eat on Sunday?
I was thinking the same thing I think every week, and that's, well, if I cross me, I'm going to get after them. That's just how you have to be, regardless of who it is, you know? Regardless of how good they are, you just have to make sure you line up with the purpose of winning every snap. I didn't win every snap, but I competed to make sure I tried, to make sure I did it whenever I could.
When you look at LeGarrette Blount, and you know he had a little bit of success. I mean, he didn't like tear big runs off or anything, but he had a little bit of success when they did call on him. He looks like a very punishing runner. Is he a tough guy to tackle? Is he tougher than maybe some other guys you faced, or is he's just another offensive player you got to put down?
He definitely got some toughness to him. You can see that, and that's the way he plays. He's physical. He runs hard. He runs tough. He refuses to get tackled. And he, at the end of the day, he's also pretty big and strong, too. So you get a big, powerful guy like that with the right mentality, you got a force, and that's what he is. And we just had to make sure we do what we had to do to limit his gains.
Going back, a couple weeks ago, before Nick had his injury and kind of things kind of had to get changed around a little bit, when they were going to what I guess is being called the NASCAR package, you were off the field on some third downs. And as a big fan of yours, we here at Cheesehead TV were a little upset about that. What was that like? I mean, I know you've been back now on third down duty, so to speak. Was that frustrating? Was that hard to be on the sidelines when they got those guys, on the field getting told, go after the quarterback, and you're like, hey, that's my job?
I'm here to do whatever they ask me to do, man. And that, if it's to go out there and just play first, second down, so be it. My number gets called for me to go rush on third down, and that's what I'll do. And I like to think, you see what I've done the last 2 weeks while I'm on third down, that, I'm still showing I'm an adequate rusher. And, I know that that's known. But the thing is, we got so many great, pretty good, and very good pass rushers that it's hard to have everybody on the field at the same time.
Speaking of some of those pass rushers, I mean, obviously on the big sack where you and Mike Neal, teamed up to take Brady down, Julius gets a pretty bad double team there. Is that anything that you, I guess you're not going to know it pre-snap, but is that something you see possibly in film study where you're like, we know if there is a guy with a reputation as a premier pass rusher, you're licking your chops thinking, I'm probably going to get a one-on-one situation here?
I had no idea what was going to happen because I think I got the slide to me just about all night. So it'd be hard for me to assume that, okay, yeah, I'm finally going to get a one-on-one. I go into the game with the mentality that they're going to send the whole crew at me, and they better do it or else, you know, and that's just my mentality. I'm going to come full steam regardless of how many people's on me, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 11, I don't care. I'm just going to come and bring it every single play, and that's just the way I play. You know, it's just how I am, this mentality I have. And when you have your one-on-one, you have to win. And that's just all to it. And, you know, I had a heck of a guy rushing next to me, and they decided to get him to slide, and I had to win. And Mike Neal had to win, and we both won.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you did.
How much do you get to – obviously, as a fan, we watch on television, and we see – lots of shots of whether it's the, you know, the offense or the defense, looking at pictures and, you know, talking to coaches in between, you know, drives. How much do you get to either suggest or say anything either to Turgovac or whoever the coach may be who's talking to you? Is there stuff that you can impart to them that you think maybe helps game planning wise, or is it strictly, I'm here to do my job, I'm going to do whatever they tell me, and that's the end of the story?
I'm here to do my job. I'm here to do whatever they tell me, and that's the end of the story. You know, regardless of what they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. And that's just what it's all about being a team. If I get called to rush on third down, I'm going to rush on third down and try to make the most of it. If I get called to play first and second, I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Let's play first and second. That's what I'm a team player. I'm here to make everybody else around me better. And if I'm making guys better than me, better by being on first and second, from making guys better by taking on double teams, from making guys better by getting the slides from me in the pass, from making guys better by being in on third down, it's whatever they ask me to do, I'm here to do it.
All right, but before, real quickly, we're going to get to the Atlanta game, but I want to know, you had an extra day off after the big victory. Did you do anything special, or did you just chill at home watching tape?
Chilled at home, relaxed, got the body back together. It's a long season, and anytime you get a chance to get an extra day to recuperate and recover, you have to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. All right, Atlanta coming in. Big game Monday night. Obviously, everyone knows about their record, but they are still first in the NFC South, and they have some weapons, especially on that offensive side of the ball. How do you protect against a letdown? Obviously, that game against the Patriots, huge game. Big national story. Now you're going to be back in the national spotlight against what you got to think is an inferior team. How do you protect against, you know, clearly everyone was jacked up for that Patriots game. How do you keep up for the Falcons?
Last NFC South team we played, they had a low record. They beat us pretty badly on the national stage. So that should if anybody sleep at the wheel, that should wake them right back up right there. You know, those Saints, they showed us something, and the Falcons are going to try to do the same thing. We just can't let that happen.
I love it. I love it. All right, man. You are an absolute legend for joining us, for jumping on tonight. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck Monday and the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great one.
Mike Daniels, ladies and gentlemen, that's how he rolls.
That is the
he is all business.
The picture on the feed of him and Neil.
Oh my God!
Making the ham sandwich out of Brady.
That is awesome sauce.
It's a thing right of beauty.
There. That is awesome sauce.
It's very rare that we have defensive. I mean, it's just been a while.
It has been.
And we've had defensive line. Like, you know, how many years have we gone? We're like, we just got to get the push from the defensive line, and we have to do like the five man rush and the three man rush, and we just never can get a
zone
pass rush.
Our
and this year, that's the difference, right? It's a secondary that can cover, that is covering for a week. Kind of weaker linebacker core, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Barrington came up, which is crazy to me, something we haven't talked about, which is insane.
We'll talk about it with Jason.
But the front line of this team has stepped up their game. And yes,
too,
the addition of Peppers has
absolutely helped.
Who knew Peppers upright was going
this.
To be the Peppers
here? I was very skeptical when they signed Peppers, and he has been a monster difference maker.
He's absolutely as big of a signing as Charles Woodson.
I agree. I totally agree. And I know people are going to go insane in the chat.
They are.
Twitter, whatever.
They're going to say, oh, he didn't win a Super Bowl. Oh, he's not. And I love totally, Charles Woodson.
I totally agree.
But it's one of those things where it's like,
I totally agree.
It's Ted doing Ted in free agency yep. when he does it in free
when
agency.
He strikes. He strikes. He's like an assassin.
He's like a sniper in free agency. He's like a snake. He's like a viper.
Well, the thing is you kept seeing in that game on Sunday where you're talking about the pressure. You're talking about the interior pressure where they kept having like either Mike Neal or Clay Matthews would win outside, but there was plenty of space for Brady to step up. Or Mike Neal or Mike Daniels or somebody on the interior would win inside,
yeah.
but then he would sidestep it and there was no side pressure. And it was perfect how on that one play, that one third down, they finally got exterior from the edge and interior pressure at the exact same time. And it was right when they needed it. It was a thing of beauty. Thing of beauty. Can't complain.
Speaking of things of beauty.
Uh-oh.
Are we going to call Wildy now?
No, we got to. No, no, no.
Oh, we're early.
We have a video to play.
Oh, we got some Aaron Nagler blue screen videos to play?
It's in the script. I don't know. We don't have to. We do whatever we want.
We can do that.
Aaron Nagler blue screen. Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, week 13 of the 2014 NFL regular season. Where do you begin with a win this big? A statement victory for Mike McCarthy. Lots to choose from in the good column, but let's go with his game design. Specifically, his ability to get Randall Cobb loose on important downs, whether it's lining him up with a linebacker to get him on the wheel route for a big third down conversion, or even just a simple dart on a sprint play from Rodgers where he shakes loose from Darrell Revis, arguably the best corner in the game. Just a great job of design by Mike McCarthy, doing lots of things against the Patriots that we hadn't seen before yet this season. On the bad side, Mike, you get a reprieve this week. I'm going to point the lens at myself. I call a challenge on me for doubting you. Yes, I picked the Patriots in this game because I thought Bill Belichick would outcoach you. You proved me totally wrong. All in all, a fantastic job from Mike McCarthy in week 13. That's right. I picked against him, and boy, was I wrong.
Guess who didn't pick against them?
The guy who never picks against them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Good.
I would. Why would I have a Packer show? Why would I start a Packer website, have a Packer show, and just be the biggest nerdy Packer fan there is that exists on the planet and pick against the Packers?
Because you've watched the other teams in the league?
I don't care about the other teams.
I know.
The other teams
are
fodder.
You have to play the other teams.
The other teams.
You don't go out there and play nobody. No. You play other teams.
No. I don't care about them.
I understand that.
They could be called.
I don't care about them either.
They could be called
Except
the
in
Chicago
the place
Cardinals.
Where it's my job, but you know, I don't care about them.
Yeah, you have jobs and stuff.
So do you. They just don't involve
yeah,
the
exactly.
other teams.
My job doesn't involve sitting in a suit at Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I'm not in a suit. God, I would never be in a suit.
You were kind of in like a blazer.
I was in a blazer.
You had like the LA thing.
My blazer is my nod to having to look semi-presentable.
Everybody's saying on the chat that you should just pick against the Packers the rest of the year.
By the way, they're 1-1 when I pick against them.
If you pick against them against Atlanta, though, you're a fool.
Just saying.
Just saying.
1-1.
I'm just saying.
So
one and one. So what does that mean?
It's
a coin toss.
Means I'm well. Yeah. Well, do we want me picking against them and being right?
So you, as an analyst, as a coin toss, is what you're saying?
Nope. Picking against
the
Packers.
You shouldn't say that about yourself.
Only when picking against the Packers.
Yeah.
Why are you such a jerk, man? You know.
No, I watch all your videos. I was actually going to say something.
You watch
really
all my
nice.
Videos. You produce all my videos. I hope you watch all my
no,
videos.
No, your SI Now videos.
You shouldn't watch
I
those.
Watched all of
I'm
them
terrible.
Today.
I'm terrible on those.
And videos. I watch them every time. As soon as SI Now tweets it, you know, I watch the video. You know,
that's unfortunate.
No, they were good. I liked what
you
said about...
Let me tell you something. Holly has been tweeting at Corey Banky. You're her favorite. Sorry, Aaron Nagler. Hashtag not sorry. That's all I'm saying. See, you're the people's champ, man. You're the people's champ.
Only for the insiders.
I'm
which
the jerk.
Very, very
I'm,
few.
I'm, I'm the jerk.
It's just too easy. It's easy. You're just. It's easy.
I got it.
It's been our whole life together. It's just easy, and it's fun.
Oh, that's disgusting. We call him.
Let's call Wildy.
Should we call Wildy now?
I listened to Ask Aaron today. I couldn't listen to it yesterday because I had a show.
I listened to it today, and it was an all Ask Aaron day.
It was great
for his birthday.
Yeah,
I guess some of those questions were lame, but you know what are you gonna do?
I mean, I just like listening to him.
You're in love, man. You're just in love.
I'm not the only one.
You're besotted.
I'm not the only one, Nagler. I love listening to him. Yeah, I used to think the best thing was like us talking crap against Wildy, but actually the best thing is Aaron Rodgers doing it.
Oh God.
It's so great.
Yeah. Well, he gets digs. He doesn't talk crap.
He gets him in there.
He gets little digs.
Although Wildy got a great one in today.
Which one?
No.
The fine.
The fine was so good.
Fine for the orange
nice
crush.
He had the perfect
crush.
Pause. Right. Awesome. That was a comedic pause.
And then he said, "So that mean you got fined?"
Yeah. That was so good. And he's so what? I mean, do you think he did?
No comment. Of course he did. You're not allowed to like what? How many beverages are sponsors of the NFL? And Rodgers is up there with his orange crush. I've never seen an orange crush ad.
So why did he bring it out there?
Or an orange crush banner. Thirsty.
So why did Jason Wohlers let him bring it out there?
Because he's like, I'm QB1. I'm taking it out there.
What are you gonna do about it, buddy?
Okay, come on. I mean, when Kaepernick's going out there with the freaking, you know, Beats headphones, like, yeah, of course Rodgers is gonna go out there and drink his drink.
Well, how much did that cost?
Yeah, probably $10,000.
But don't they announce that publicly?
No, they don't announce it.
They only announce fines. They want to announce, like, you were a bad person, so I'm going to announce a fine against you.
I'm going to go ask about that.
Because what about Beats headphones? Does everybody know about that or the player said
no, that? No. I don't know. They don't announce
it. So the player says, I got fined. So somebody found out about Kaepernick because the player said it, not because it was public knowledge.
Yeah, or because an intrepid reporter asked the NFL.
Everybody wants us to call Vic. Okay, first off.
We don't have Vic's number.
I don't have Vic's number.
Oh, we're all gonna die!
I'm gonna get a call after the show from our sponsor.
Our sponsor's like, we don't approve of our beer cans falling while you're
beer cans falling. Not so good.
Not a great imagery to be portraying. All right, let's call Jason. Let's call. It's like I'm resigned. Okay, let's call him. He's going to give you some guff, son, and you deserve it.
I deserve it.
All you do is go at him on Twitter. Man, why can't... Where's the love? Where's the love?
I love him. That's why I go after him. He's my favorite.
He's live.
Because you know he's not watching this show.
No, of course not.
Hello?
Jason Wildy.
Oh, yeah.
It's Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke. You are live on CheeseheadTV.com. How are you tonight, sir?
Wow, I'll watch my language.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, speaking of that,
how are you guys?
We were okay. Last week we had a profanity laden show.
Oh my goodness.
And it was the first one we sent to CBS Local. And afterwards I'm like, maybe we should cut that out. It's probably not a great idea. How are you, sir?
Was that the show I was bumped from?
Yeah, that was the show you were bumped from. Yes. Katie Nolan dropped down from on high and was like, I want to be on your show. And we said, but we already have someone, but okay. That was
I'm sure you fought the good fight for quite a while.
Definitely.
Before accepting her. Yes.
I can tell you this. Several people were very upset.
They were
very upset that A, that you were bumped, and B, that we didn't talk Packers enough.
Yes.
Oh, so they felt like what they feel when they listen to Green and Gold today.
I set them up. You knock them down. All right. Let's get down to brass tacks.
We were just talking about your brilliant moment on Aaron Rodgers' show yesterday about the fine.
Yeah, where you said, so that means you got fined, right? And he said, next question or no comment or whatever it was. You got to think.
So
he got
great.
He got fined, right? He had to have been.
Yeah, he clearly got fined, right? I mean,
exactly.
You don't react that way if you didn't. And then he also said at one point, a little bit earlier, he said that he went to the podium with tape on his grape crush, right?
Yep.
I think he said that. So I think, you know, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I'm pretty sure he got fined for that not being a Pepsi product.
All right, Benedict Cumberbatch. Let's break it down. Sunday night against the Patriots. What was the biggest surprise? You know, obviously lots of people, including yours truly, picking against the Packers. They get the big win on a national stage. What was the biggest surprise to you?
You know, even though I probably have the reputation as the resident Dom Capers apologist, I did have serious doubts after Davante Adams dropped the pass,
mm-hmm.
and they settled for the field goal there. I mean, Domofsky and I are sitting next to each other, and I said, so they're going to lose 28-26 now, right? And he said, no, they'll score the touchdown and they'll go for two, so it'll either be 29-26 or 27-26. So I think, to me, I have to admit that the biggest surprise was that on 3rd and 9, after allowing multiple conversions, the 4th down and then the 3rd down conversions before that, that they come up with a big play and that they get the sack on a guy who's difficult to sack, that Dom Capers tweaks things ever so slightly, and it actually works for those who think he doesn't know what he's doing. He changes the zone coverage on that play, and it did. I mean, you watched Aaron, I'm sure you watched the tape multiple times. It's clear that Brady holds on to the ball, whatever that split second is longer.
He doesn't know what he's looking at. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, for that to come together like that and then for the field goal to be missed, I thought that was, again, I'm not Bill Barnwell. I'm not an expert on momentum and all this other stuff. But whether we believe in momentum or not, I believe in confidence. And I think the quarterback was talking about that as well. And I think that when you're the Packers defense and you've had the failings that they've had in the past, to get that kind of success against that team in that situation and essentially win the game on that play, I think that that's huge for a group that really needed that kind of a signature moment. And now they've had that, and we'll see where they take it from here.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about not being very confident. I tweeted, I think, 2 plays before that, there is no more helpless feeling than watching the Packers defense try to hold a lead. So I was right there with you. I thought that that was it.
You know, and I thinking back to last year, the playoff game against San Francisco where the 49ers get the ball and they never get it back. They kick the game-winning field goal. I'm writing about Micah Hyde tonight, and I talked to not only his high school coach, but I talked to Kirk Ferentz this morning. And nice. Thinking back to that play, that's the kind of play that they made with the sack on Sunday.
Yes.
That Micah, who beat himself up over it, didn't make. I mean, he makes that play. They have the ball deep in 49ers territory, and they're the ones who kick the game-winning field goal in advance in the postseason. So, again, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to get home field or they're going to get to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but it gives a group of guys that need that kind of confidence a big boost that they made the play when they needed to make it, and I just think that's a wonderful thing to have.
Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, and speaking of confidence, I have a query about a longtime Packer who has every reason to maybe be, you know, questioning maybe his confidence, so to speak, in one Mr. A.J. Hawk. Were you surprised to see how little he played, how he was relegated to the very base defense? And do you think this will lead, this is a precursor to his, you know, leaving in the offseason?
Boy, the only reason I would say no is because of the way that the coaches have stood by him through thick and thin. And there have been games like this one where he was barely on the field.
The first thing I thought was the Indianapolis game a couple years ago where I think he played 3 snaps. It was Peyton Manning's last time at Lambeau. So that was a
while. Or the 2010 opener in Philadelphia where he didn't play at all on defense.
Exactly.
But again,
this feels different, though.
By the end of that season, he was playing all the time. I mean, I guess my thought is that it's possible that it was purely a matchup thing, that they were looking for ways to get Clay Matthews matched up on Gronkowski, because he did cover, I mean, he didn't cover them all game, but he covered a part of the game.
No, he was good, too. Yeah.
But kind of in a bigger picture sort of way, it's hard to imagine a group of coaches that have basically said that he's the quarterback on defense and he's so vital in all those glue ways that then they would just chuck him aside and say that he can't even play in the nickel anymore. But I think that's the reason why I haven't written anything extensive on it. I did a blog post on it, but I can't. Like, I need to see what happens on Monday night.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
You know, I thought Dom Capers was somewhat elusive. I mean, and it's, you know, we've got a great media group. There's a group of TV folks that ask really good, tough questions. And this was kind of that one of those awkward topics where we all kind of beat around the bush. And then finally, after like asking Dom like five different ways, I finally said, "So Dom, is his role going to be the same next week as it was this week or not?" And that was when he said, "Well, it's going to be a week to week thing." And he didn't answer the question, but we needed to pose that to him to see how he responded. And so I'm anxious to see what his role is. But if he's relegated to the same only playing in the base defense role on Monday night as he was on Sunday against the Patriots, then we have our answer. But I'm not willing to jump out there until I see exactly what he does come up with.
You are too kind to the TV people. Anyway, moving on. you posited something on Twitter and I think on your show earlier this week about Aaron Rodgers' play. About, you know, point blank, you said, are we watching the greatest, I think, I'm not overstating here, the best quarterback ever in NFL history? Was that your question? Is that correct?
Yes, that was the question. I'm sure you didn't listen to the actual show, but I sincerely wanted to,
but I did. I did. I really wanted to because I saw it and I was like, yes, I sincerely
want to take in every episode of Packer Transplant.
Yeah, stop.
And this is the first one all season.
Once a week versus every day, Wilde. No, but I did, and I had just ridiculous amounts of stuff to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm interested. What kind of feedback did you get from that question?
Well, I saw, and I didn't. I don't know if he wrote it before that conversation or not. If he did, I didn't see it, so I wasn't stealing the idea from Jarrett Bell, but I know at some point after he was at the game on Sunday,
I thought Jarrett Bell stole it from you, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think it's possible. Again, I guess my opinion is, because I'm very opinionated, as you guys know, is that it's a possibility that he's playing it at that level. Because all of our conversations about the greatest quarterback always include winning. And I wasn't trying to... That wasn't the debate I was trying to have. The conversation I was trying to have was whether or not he is playing the position at a level that we haven't seen before, at the best level ever, etc. I mean, that spans a long time. That spans a lot of different great quarterbacks. I don't think it's probably a fair discussion. But when you look at the way he's not turning the ball over, all the stuff he does at the line of scrimmage, changing plays, etc., you take all that into account, and I would argue that he's playing better than he even did when he won his first MVP.
No question. No question in my mind. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Good. I'm glad we agree.
I'm glad we agree as well.
That usually is a good sign for me.
Speaking of Rodgers, and let's talk about McCarthy. Let's throw McCarthy into the mix, because both of them had some things to say about their team this week, whether it was confidence or maturity. Are they just trying to like couch this thing that they really think this team is pretty kick-ass and has a chance to run the table here? Or are they speaking some truths in regards to the maturity level here? I know Aaron touched on this a little bit on your show in regards to guys not getting lots of stupid penalties, and the guys are keeping their emotion in check, etc. What do you make of that? I thought it was very interesting that they had kind of similar takes in regards to the makeup of this football team.
Yeah, I thought what was interesting about it was that he that Rodgers went the direction he did about the maturity and not getting fined and not being late to meetings, because you know that there were probably, and you could, it probably would be easy to guess some of the names that we would put on the list of guys that maybe weren't quite as professional, who weren't, who would show up late, who would miss curfew, who would do whatever.
I think
the best way that I took it as is that there's a seriousness about this team that, you know, they kind of take, to be honest, I think they take a cue from Rodgers, Sitton, and Lang. I really get the sense when I'm in that, just in the locker room, just during the time that we're allowed in there, which is obviously not a true sense of the locker room. I mean, 45 minutes a day that I spend in there is very different than what we're not in there.
Version of the locker room. Yeah, right.
Right, but I get the sense that those guys, and that the vibe is, look, we know when we can have fun and goof around, and we know when we have to have our acts together and get to work. And I think that that's, you know, that's something that I've always believed that offensive lines set the tone for your team.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the reasons why I think that, say, the 2003 team was as good as it was and should have been playing in the Super Bowl that year was because they had that was a great offensive line that also had control of the locker room. You know, they had the quieter, more professional veteran guys of Tauscher and Clifton, and you know, Marco wasn't quiet, but he was big time professional. And then they had kind of a leader who also could be a jokester in Flanagan. And then they had the tough guy, the badass guy in Wall, and they had that group that really, they owned the locker room. And I, to be quite honest, I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, they were able to have success even without Favre being necessarily the traditional leader and dressing in the same locker room even, right? I mean, that was the first year that he started to use the staff locker room. So I really believe that offensive lines are vital to that. And I think that this group, even though there's some really young guys on it, I really think this group has that quality.
I wouldn't discount either. I mean, and I completely agree with everything you just said. I wouldn't discount the influence of Julius Peppers either. I mean, you're talking about the strong sense of veteran leadership. I mean, it's impressive. The one time I got to meet him this summer, I mean, he has a serious presence. I mean, that guy is...
He does. And you know what, Aaron, the other thing that's interesting is that I love the way he went about becoming that influence in the locker room. Like, the first time he was... I feel like, you know, he didn't talk until the first OTA to us. Like, there was never a press conference or anything. But then there was a time in training camp. It wasn't a big group of us. It was like four or five of us. And one of the things he said, which I thought was just genius of him, was, hey, I'm the new guy here. I'm not a leader. I just got here. I've been in the league a long time. I've done some things in this league. I would hope that guys would look at me and ask for advice or whatever it might be. But, you know, I don't want to be the guy who walks in here and acts like he knows everything that's going on and tells people what to do. I thought that was a very humble moment for a guy who had accomplished a lot. And I thought that would probably endear him to his teammates, and I think it did. And now it's clear that he's earned their respect. You know, he's done things on the field. He's played. He's made plays. He's played at a high level. And so now it's not this old guy who used to accomplish things in the league, and we picked him up, and he's a shell of his former self. It, this guy's still, as the players might say, balling out and doing it well, and we'll listen to him because he's proving it on the field and with the way he carries himself around it.
You know, Corey and I were just talking about that before he got on. Corey posited, and I kind of agreed. I think this is Charles Woodson level free agent acquisition. I really do. And when he was signed this summer, I didn't agree. But I'm telling you, the longer the season goes on, the more important I think he is.
Yeah, and I mean, he's never going to be Charles. I mean, they kind of teased him about his pregame speech that he had against the Bears about how he apparently he didn't follow the directions, and it was supposed to only be 2 minutes, and you would think it was over, and then he'd keep going. but I don't know if he's quite the orator that Charles was in that role,
he's
but he definitely
difference maker.
Okay, whoa.
And
speaking of players speaking to the team prior to facing their old teams, this has gotten absolutely no play. But what do you think LaTroy Guyon, or whatever the hell you pronounce his name, what do you think that was about? Because let me tell you something. Everyone, you talk to any player on that team, they all mention it. Like, if you ask them about his speech prior to playing the Vikings, they all mention it as really fire, yeah, and really great. And then if you watch Packers.com when they did the, you know, post-game celebratory, your peek inside the Packers locker room after the victory, etc., they have like 3 seconds of Mike going, "All right, LaTroy, come up here." And LaTroy gets up there, and then they cut. And then they cut back to, "All right, yeah, all right, Packers on three." I would love to know how, like, profane or insane LaTroy Guyon got on the Vikings.
Well, according to Aaron Rodgers, it's Guillaume, so I'm guessing that portion was in French. He did talk to us in the off season and said some things about how he came here because he wanted to play for a real team and with a real quarterback. Remember that?
I think
a few of us wrote small things about it. Nothing overly inflammatory.
Well, it was hard
to
get a read on him.
It
was hard to get a read on him because he wasn't on the field. You were never talking about it because he was on the sideline all summer.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, he obviously has filled a void. Although, you know, we may be doing a little bit of revisionist history here, talking about how well he's played, considering how bad they were against the run to start the year. But regardless, he's obviously filled an important spot for them, and that you're absolutely right. Clearly, the players felt like whatever he said was significant. I still subscribe to the. You guys know I love language, I love words, it's what I deal in. I still subscribe to the Brett Favre theory of pregame speeches, though, which is we all had that guy in high school who would get up there and yell, and this is I'm paraphrasing Brett's retelling because I could never do as well as he does, but we all had that guy in high school who would get up there and say, they called us a bunch of cream puffs, we're going to kick their butts. And then he would run out onto the field, and on the first play, he'd get knocked on his ass, and he'd never hear from him again. And seriously, you can look up the quotes. Favre told that he would go to that like once a year, like it was part of his cache of great stories. So I agree with him. I mean, I think that it's talk is cheap, and it's great to give a great pregame speech, but you've got to go out and perform, and obviously. They did after Julius's speech. They did it after LaTroy Guyon's speech. they've obviously played well, but you know, again, the Packers didn't go to the Super Bowl because Charles Woodson said he won't come to see us. Let's go see him. The Packers went to the Super Bowl because they played really well in 2010, and they need to do that again to be able to get back there.
But they won the Super Bowl because they played the piano the night before, and everyone was relaxed. We all know this.
Yes, they were loose. Well, see, the key to success is being relaxed, clearly. So they were relaxed
maybe before
the Super Bowl. They're relaxed now. Yeah.
All right. I know we're keeping you long, and I'm sorry. You're an absolute legend for joining us, Mr. Wilde. I got two more questions. First of all, what is your prediction for Monday night?
This could be
a trap game. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, not so great. Our guest earlier this evening made a great point. Last time everyone was saying we're going to go face some, you know, downtrodden NFC South team. They waxed them on national television. What's your prediction here for Monday night?
Was that Mike Daniels or is he on after me?
No, that was Mike Daniels. Yes, he was on. Jason, I love you, buddy.
You're the closer, Jason.
I'm going to watch the podcast later, obviously.
I'm sure you are. Just like I catch every green and gold today. Yep. I have no doubt.
Exactly. I know you download them all for your
every damn day.
Yeah. First of all, was the more important question is, was Mike Daniels Mike Daniels, or was he the artist formerly known as Mike Daniels who says, "Well, we just got to play good football," and says a bunch of blasé cliches because he went through that phase earlier this year, and I teased him about it every time I would see him, asking him, "Have you seen Mike Daniel?" And nice. I think he started to come around to being himself again. Was he himself tonight with you?
You know, he was, I will say this, he was a mix. He was very, he was, you know, his usual, like, Terminator, let's destroy everybody kind of thing. But it was very on message. It was very, like, every game's the same. We got to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
This is my job. Although I did like what he said about, I asked him about the third down thing early, a couple, you know, like last month. He was off the field on third downs. And now he's back on the field in third downs and he's kicking ass. So, you know, he was like, whatever they asked me to do, et cetera, et cetera. So a little bit of that, a little bit of the old.
He's because he's capable of being really, really great for us.
And
I do like teasing him when he, you know, the best part was when he said that his dad told him he talked too much to the media. Then I asked him about it and he didn't remember saying that because it wasn't the truth. He made it clear that that might not have been the case. But he's, look, forget whether he's being great with the media or not, the dude is a hell of a football player. And when I talked to Ference this morning for my Micah Hyde story that I'll be, I was going to say finishing, but really more or less starting when I get done talking to you guys. You know, I asked him about Mike, and he just raved about him. And you know, I don't know if we've, I mean, maybe Tyler's written this story. I can't remember. But, you know, the fact that this was a guy that was going to go to Villanova.
Yeah, right.
And wasn't even a Division I recruit. And to have him, you know, again, it's just further proof that there are really good football players to be found, whether it's from high school to college or college to pro, that slipped through the cracks. I mean, this dude slipped through the cracks coming out of high school, slipped down to the fourth round coming out of college. And, you know, he's really more or less all they have to show for that 2012 draft, him and Casey Hayward, but he's the one who's playing the bigger role right now. So
Casey Hayward, who had nine snaps on Sunday. Lord, imagine that. Sorry, get me all worked up.
That's fine. To answer your question, I will pick the Packers to win. I did not pick them to win, like you didn't this past Sunday. But I think they're going to go 8-0 at home. I think they're going to win out. And if they have home field advantage, which they would avoid having, to, if they win out, there's no circumstance where they'd have to go to Seattle, right?
Because
Seattle's
exactly.
8-4, they're 9-3. I think that's the biggest thing they have to do. I think they can beat anybody else if they have to come to Green Bay. I think there are certain teams that they could beat on the road in the postseason, but I just think they have to stay out of Seattle. Part of me thinks they have to stay out of New Orleans too, but big picture, I just think they're going to put themselves in one of those top two spots, have home field in the postseason, and have a chance to get to Arizona.
I totally agree with everything you just said, except for the New Orleans thing. I think as long as Rodgers' hamstring is fine, they win that game. But we'll see.
You might be right.
Okay, the last thing. Like I said, I know we're keeping you long. I'm really sorry, but I did want to get your take on this.
You know, I told you 15 minutes knowing it would go 25 to 30, so it wouldn't go 35 to 40.
That's my guy. That's like we used to tell my uncle on Thanksgiving, who used to go deer hunting. We'd say, you know, lunch. You know, we're serving at 1 o'clock, knowing we were serving at 3 because, you know, Uncle Bob was always like, at least an hour and a half late.
It's like a two-hour version of Lombardi.
It's not Lombardi time. It's Uncle Bob and Aaron Nagler time.
Exactly. Precisely. All right. So I wanted to get your take on this because as someone who, Corey and I tend to give you a little grief occasionally.
Just a little bit.
On Twitter and in other places.
In regards
to the job that you and others do in the media, I thought it apropos as you were going to be on tonight, and you were coming on before this happened. Colin Kaepernick out in San Francisco made some waves today for being very succinct and truculent in his answers, and it pisses me off when the quote unquote traditional media gets all upset because a guy isn't verbose at the podium. And my question to you is twofold. Number one, do you have a problem with guys like Marshawn Lynch or Colin Kaepernick when they're fulfilling their media obligations? Obviously, Mr. Lynch did not at one point, but then when he did, he had the famous yeah.
Least common denominator.
Yeah, right. Or Kaepernick giving his answers today. They're contractually obligated to meet with the media. They have done so. Do you share some of your colleagues' kind of, you know, thoughts on that? Or are you, you know what, the guy's doing his job, I've asked him questions, and he's answered?
Yeah, I think clearly they're not fulfilling the spirit of the rule, but again, the rule is violated a lot, and I am not vigilant. I mean, look, let's be honest. There's a bunch of times when that Packers locker room is not nearly as populous as it should be during the media access period, and we have not raised a stink about that. Maybe we should. Maybe we need to do a better job of that.
No,
maybe
don't
we're
ever.
Not as...
Don't ever. Don't ever. Don't ever.
Don't ever what?
No, because it's... Okay, here's the thing. You just said earlier, there's a version of the locker room when the media's there, right?
Yeah, but I still need to... They need to be available to me to ask questions. They don't have to go in there and act like they would if I wasn't there. I mean, you know, I'm not asking them to do that, but, you know, for example, there are some guys that I would, if they were in there more often, A, they would not always be overwhelmed by this. But, you know, look, Julius Peppers hates it when we all stand around his locker and he gets questions that some aren't very good. Regardless of who they're from, I've asked plenty of bad questions in my career, but he doesn't suffer them very well. But nope. Julius Peppers, if you talk to him one-on-one, is terrific.
Yes.
Like I love talking to the guy. And if you come through more often, you have more opportunity to have those types of conversations with a Domofsky or a Wes or Tyler or Spoon or whoever than if you are in there once a week for 10 minutes to have an entire group ask a large majority of bad questions to you. So that's again, he's fulfilling his obligation. Here's my opinion on this. And of course, just like I would say about Aaron Rodgers, that you can take my opinion and ignore it because you can say that I have too close a relationship with him, so I can't be accurate in evaluating him. That's fine. You're entitled to take my opinion and flush it. That's fine. In this instance, it's obviously my job. So my opinion, you can flush it after you hear it. That's fine. I respect that. My feeling is that the for lack of a better term, the boots on the ground media, because obviously the way the world of the internet and everything else and aggregating sites and all the other stuff has gone, everything takes off after we report it. Now there are people that use it to write their own original stories based on some quotes that they read or whatever and are credited. There are other sites that just sort of aggregate what's said, like Pro Football Talk throughout the league, whatever. But the conversations that you have with your local media, not the national television networks, not ESPN, not all those, the guys that are there every day, those are your conduit to your biggest, most important constituency of your fan base. Those are the true fans that care so much about your team that they're reading every word. They're the ones that you want to have a connection with. And some guys use Twitter, some guys don't. But you cannot use Twitter to fully engage with your fan base. It's impossible. They have way more followers than I do. I don't respond to every tweet I get. I'm sure they don't. I mean, Mike Daniels is great with his fans, but he still doesn't reach as many people as the ones who read a story that I write about Mike Daniels. And so there is a benefit for them to be smart and savvy and good with the media. And I think if you look at players who have gained a certain level of popularity, they have understood how to utilize the media in a proper way and do it professionally, but also use it to their advantage. Again, I'm biased. I think this, whatever this is, the Players Tribune, I mean, this I'm sure that senior editor Russell Wilson is sitting down at his laptop and writing his entire piece that he's posting there.
Easy now. A buddy of mine is a front page editor at the Players Tribune, so just relax there, Mr. Wilde.
I completely agree with you, okay. Jason, but I think change is coming, and I think I told Ty Dunn this at Throwback Weekend, and I told Wes Hodd this at Throwback Weekend. Change is coming. I've worked in the startup industry, and as the generations come along, the one-on-one gets more and more and more and more, and I don't know what that change is. I'm not disputing you, But change is coming, and there is something with social media that is going to like completely disrupt the status quo that we have right now. Especially that exists.
Look, and I think whatever the change is, there's been adjustment throughout time. I mean, the idea that, first of all, that and again, I don't say this in a denigrating way at all. But
stop
the fact that,
couching it. Stop couching. But, stop it. But just say what you want to say, man. That,
we know you love us deep down.
But the fact that you two bozos are able to do what you do now is amazing. I think it's the most awesome thing. Seriously, and you guys know how I feel about you. It is incredible for Packers fans to have this forum to sit on a Wednesday night and watch on their computer. I mean, when I started doing this, who could have imagined that a community of Packers fans could all sit and watch this on their computer? Like, we barely had the internet when I started covering the team. I mean, I think this is, so again, I think that there is incredible value to that. But until we figure out exactly where this sea change is going to take us, it's obviously taking us onto electronic devices and off of ink on your fingers, but other ways that it's going to change. You're right, Corey. We have to be able to adjust as writers, as fans, as people who consume the media, as people who interact with other people. I mean, again, I understand that I spend too much time on Twitter, but part of it is I crave that interaction with the people who... Are we on local television? Am I able to say shift? Is that legal or no?
Yeah, you can say that.
Whatever you want. But...
okay. I think it's amazing that people give a shit about what I write, and I'm actually able to interact with those people now. When I started at the State Journal, if I didn't get a handwritten letter in the mail from some lovely elderly woman who thought I did a nice job of writing stories, I would have gotten zero reader feedback in 1996. And so the fact that I can write a story, post it, people can read it, and 10 minutes after I posted it, I'm already getting somebody saying, Wilder, your story sucks, or hey, you've got a typo, or hey, this is really good. I love that. I love the interaction. And again, everyone uses things differently. I can't imagine using Twitter as a one-way conduit where I just post things and I never talk to anybody, never interact with anybody. That is not the way I personally would use it. And so I like that aspect of it. So whatever the change is, I hope that I'm able to adjust to it and keep doing this job at least until the girls are out of college.
That's the key, isn't it? That is the key. All right, Wildy.
The legend himself.
You are. Wait.
Finally on Packers.
I have a really quick final question. I did, because I said I had two.
It's 9:05.
I know, but I said I had two.
That's the
and
internet.
And you talked forever on the first one, all right? So this is the second one, and it's really quick. And it's a simple yes or no answer.
Well, here we go.
Did you know, are you aware, has anyone told you or ever seen the fact that we end every single Packer transplants for the last, I think, since it happened with Mike's soundbite to you saying, I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason?
I was not aware of that. And the fact that after that, all he talked about was how that was going to be this galvanizing thing for them and how it was going to be a rallying point. They talked about that for the next three frickin' days after it happened, which was exactly my question at the time.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight. Yeah,
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight. We literally have ended this show
it's been
with that soundbite.
For two seasons
for
now.
Since it happened. Half, yeah. Since the Fail Mary.
It's the greatest clip.
It's
the greatest Mike McCarthy press conference clip
ever. It is
ever.
Pretty much the greatest moment of Mike McCarthy's career. It is pretty hot.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was... I'm just glad that everybody who was watching the broadcast at home on ESPN or whatever thought it was Jason LaConfora. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. You're an absolute legend for joining us. Jason Wilde, check out his stuff.
Jason Wilde.
ESPNMilwaukee.com, Wisconsin.com,
yep.
Madison.com, yep. And just enter random Wisconsin city names after ESPN, and you'll find them.
And, of course, the Aaron Rodgers Show on Tuesdays.
The Aaron Rodgers Show is the bomb.
Cannot miss that. I never miss it.
Don't miss
Even if I miss it on Tuesdays, I listen to it. It's the greatest show. I love it.
Thank you, Jason.
I will talk to you guys in 2017. Thanks for having me out.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Jason Wilde. Well, we went long.
All right. Well,
it's that time.
Yep,
it's that time.
It's the Rookie Report here at CheeseheadTV.com for week 13 of the 2014 NFL regular season. Let's start with Corey Linsley, who did a very good job in the run game, especially in the zone stretch play. He did have a snafu in pass protection on a delayed blitz that blew up a third down and a chance at scoring a touchdown. Overall, we've probably been a bit spoiled by his play. Not his greatest performance. Let's give him a B- on the day. Another guy who's gone up and down throughout the year but had a pretty solid showing against the Patriots was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He still has a nasty habit of ducking his head when he goes to tackle, but all in all, he was excellent in coverage, did a great job of matching up with Rob Gronkowski when he needed to. Obviously, the play in the end zone where he did just enough to dislodge the ball, a solid B for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. What about Davante Adams? All week we heard how Revis and Browner were going to shut down Nelson and Cobb. They needed Adams to come up in a big way, and boy did he ever. Just forget about the drop that would have been a touchdown at the end of the game. Yes, he'll be thinking about that one for a long time. But concentrate on his 6 catches for 120-plus yards and just an excellent showing all around in the passing game, doing everything they needed to move the chains. A great job from Davante Adams. He gets an A- on the day. Richard Rodgers played 30 snaps that were evenly split between run and pass. Did a fair job in the run game, still has some issues there. Obviously, the big play on the day, splitting the seam and getting into the end zone for a touchdown against the safety, a B+ for Rodgers. Finally, Mike Pennell, after a great showing up in Minnesota, really regressed against the Patriots. Washed out against the run, provided absolutely nothing in terms of pass rush. Not a great day. Let's forget this one. A D+ for Pennell. And there you have it, the Rookie Report for Week 13 of the 2014 NFL regular season.
All right, so let's talk about those dirty birds, Mr. Banky. The Atlanta Falcons are coming into Green Bay, and they're looking to, I guess, keep winning the South with a losing record?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. All right, if you got to look at this Falcons team, there is one player that you worry about. His name is Julio Jones. This guy can single-handedly destroy Packers fans' Christmases with a monster performance on Monday night. Now, the only time he's faced the Packers, he left with a hamstring injury. And you have to think he's going to be gunning for bear. I mean, he absolutely destroyed Patrick Peterson against the Cardinals.
Not worried about him.
I'm worried about him.
Look, Nagler.
I'm worried about him.
Okay.
All right.
It's going to be 42-7.
Wow, you skipped right ahead, didn't you? Yeah. All right. And on the flip side, you can expect Desmond Trufant to shadow Jordy. Wilson, your own guy, another corner. Actually, he's a slot guy. He's been playing pretty well, too, so I would look for him to kind of shadow Cobb. They're not Revis and Browner, but they could probably give, you know, those guys some problems. So I would expect another pretty decent day from Davante Adams.
This may or not be a suggestion for those of you in your fantasy playoffs.
I would expect another decent day from Davante Adams against the Falcons.
You would play Davante Adams on fantasy?
Well, some people would. Sometimes, yeah, that's all you got, man.
What?
If you're a 12-team league.
Don't play no rookie on fantasy.
If you start... Oh, this from the guy who did nothing but draft rookies when
because
he played fantasy?
Because when I play fantasy football, okay, because I did not want you to get any Packers.
I know.
So if I draft rookies and I hold them and
yes.
I just lose, then I'll always
have
Packers.
You won the league twice.
I know, but and I did it on a Packers strategy.
So
I don't want you to get a rookie.
You're saying 42-7.
I don't want you to have Aaron Rodgers. So I know you'll like rookies.
I have Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah,
though.
Now, but I'm not in fantasy.
No, I know.
Real fans don't play fantasy. I'm sorry.
That's a bold statement.
I'm not afraid of it.
It's a bold statement.
Not afraid of it. Because, okay, riddle me this,
Batman. I know exactly where you're going.
When Tom Brady's on your team and he's playing against the Packers on Sunday, mm-hmm. who are you rooting for there, fantasy football person?
Douchebag?
Yeah. I didn't want to say that.
I'm right there with you.
You ain't rooting for the Packers at that point.
Nope. Well, unless you are rooting for the Packers, and if Tom Brady happens to
you
throw
can't
a touchdown,
have
like,
it both
okay,
ways,
fine.
Sheila.
No, you're not. You're not having it both ways. You're saying, all right, fine, I'll take the points. You're not rooting. You're not actively rooting for it.
It's not possible.
It's very possible for those of us who do not suffer from rigidity.
Coming from the guy who
just
picked against the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. Because I looked at the freaking matchup.
Yeah. Okay. If rigidity means that I, no matter what, love the Green Bay Packers, then I am rigid.
So anyway, Corey's prediction is 42-7. Was that it?
No.
What
yes.
was it?
Yeah, it was.
That was.
I always forget what it is the week before, though. Like during the game, I'm like, I forget. Like I forgot what the Katie Nolan bet was.
No, I don't remember.
Somebody on Twitter had to remind me. We'll it was $25.
Yeah, whatever. No one cares.
No.
It was probably just the Packers.
No, people
win,
care.
So you should collect $25.
Yeah,
clearly.
I think I'm going to have some good luck with
Fox
that.
Fox Sports 1 can pay that off.
I think I'm going to have some good luck with that.
And my prediction is...
No, I like the thing we made for it. That your prediction here. The Packers play well?
Yeah, if the Packers play well, they could get Mike Smith fired.
I like that.
They seriously could. Remember that year where they played a bunch of teams like whoever it was? Like I think it was Wade Phillips maybe with the Cowboys and a couple other guys. Like they played some teams and got coaches fired the very next day.
Yeah.
The Packers could potentially get Mike Smith fired. If things fall right, and I think they probably will, it could be like 52-17.
That'd be sweet.
That's my prediction.
You know, I wanted to ask Wildy, I actually disagree with someone that we're not going to name now. We're not going to do that segment because we're a little bit over and we got to end the show. But
yes.
I disagree with the fact that we have to have home field. I feel like this team...
Oh, I think we're... No,
this
road
team
warriors.
Is
yes,
ascending.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt about it.
Totally.
They're relaxed, and I'm not even making a pun. Like they're a very relaxed team. They've been playing consistently better and better and better. The offensive line is gelling. Like we haven't seen a Packers team offensive line gel maybe since 1996-95. Like really, if you really think about it, like... Maybe even 2003 when Wildy made a good point about how the offensive line was then.
They were great.
We have
they
a defensive great. Line that's putting pressure on quarterbacks no matter what Dom Capers comes up with half the time. And we have a secondary that is not anywhere near as good
let me
as
tell
it's
you.
Going to be.
Let me tell you.
Let me tell you that right now.
We have a secondary that is winning games with Casey Hayward playing 9 snaps.
Exactly.
That is nuts.
Devon House is ascending.
Yep.
Hayward is ascending.
Yep.
Tremont is playing sideways,
dude, wait,
but
no,
he's
no,
has
wait,
good
wait.
And bad.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's just say something right here. Tremont Williams played his ass off
yes,
on Sunday night.
Yes.
He got the horrible penalty, which shouldn't have been a penalty yes. because the wide receiver just ran into him.
Yes.
And that's what wide receiver coaches will tell you. Yeah, I tell my guys, just run into the dude at the top
yeah,
of the
route. Of course.
You're going to
get
the
flag
a penalty 90% of the time. So that was some BS. And I'd also like to point out that Darrell Revis... Mr. Revis Island, you know, blah, 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 all broadcast long, we got to hear about Revis Island. Blah, blah. And then Jordy goes in and blows up Revis Island. Oh, look at Revis Island. It's at the bottom of the ocean, isn't it? Oh, and then what happens post-game? Revis is, oh, he pushed off. Oh, really? Oh, really? Did he push off? I don't think so. I think he put his arm out there so you couldn't grab him like you have been all freaking game.
Yeah.
But... He put his arm out, got separation, scored a touchdown. I didn't hear Tremont Williams bitching about getting pushed off on by Brandon LaFell, which, by the way, if Jordy Nelson pushed off, Brandon LaFell was freaking Michael Irvin on his touchdown. And that's all I got to say
and
about that.
Here's the thing that the big catchments of the world do not understand. Okay, because they didn't cover the Packers when they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Tremont Williams gets better
as the
playoffs
on,
go on.
Baby.
And he is a baller in the playoffs.
Look at last year.
He kills in the playoffs. He is like he's like 10 times better than Al Harris in the playoffs. And Al Harris won a game in overtime, the first time we won in overtime in Lambeau in the history of Lambeau Field. So Tremont Williams in the playoffs.
Yeah. We know what you meant. We know. We're there. We're there.
It's true. I don't have to take that back. I didn't say anybody died.
No.
We're over.
We're done.
So we have a special treat for the end.
We got to have it happen here.
So come on over here, Thaddeus.
Thaddeus Collins in the house. All right. What? So is he reading something here? Has he got it? He got our outro? He's got it. Okay, right there. Right at the bottom there.
Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Packers Transplant. We'd like to thank Mike Daniels and Jason Wilde for stopping by and everyone who joined us on the live vlog. You guys really helped make a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and Aaron are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Bye to the camera.